If you've got your Bibles, go to Romans 12, and we'll be looking primarily at verse 1 and 2. I just want to let you know that this message around refresh, and particularly around renewed, is some really good tools that are available around this. And Catherine Thompson, who is a grad of MST, which is where I am, and she's written a book, Christ-Centered Mindfulness, and she's a practicing, I'll get it right, psychologist or psychiatrist in Melbourne. She's a senior research fellow, specializes in mental health, personality disorder, and psychosis, and she writes a really helpful book, and she's a Melbourne academic and theologian. And she's got some really good tools in here around mindfulness, particularly Christian mindfulness. Also draw from some of the work, a good friend of ours, Dr. Paul Wetham, from his Soul Food material. The other one is Esther Smith. She's written a book called A Still and Quiet Mind. And I'm referring to that during the message. And also Dallas Willard, he has an excellent book called Hearing God. So just some resources, if you are listening to this and you think I'd like to read some more, there are some resources that I'll be drawing from, and also the Bible, which is good, which all those folk center their material from. But I want to take you back to 2020. First we had droughts, then we had floods, then we had bushfires, then we had a pandemic, and which was disrupted or has disrupted the health and well-being of millions of people, not only globally but also nationally, and it's affected us. And it still feels like we're trying to crawl our way back. I'm not sure where we're trying to crawl our way back to, but it does feel that way. And a HBR article, Harvard Business Review article called titled Leading an Exhausted Workforce. It's by Abrahams and Groysberg. They say everyone, or the subtitle is, everyone is exhausted. People are coping with collective grief and trauma on a global scale. We are post-emergency, but still in crisis. And sometimes it feels that way. We are post-emergency, but still in crisis. And then we go from 2020 into the present, and you've got New South Wales flooded, Victoria flooded, Queensland flooded, Tasmania flooded. Now the Kimberley, Western Australia, is flooded, and so South Australia. I think ACT miss out somewhere in there. NT certainly has experienced some. And I was talking with someone during the week, and they said, I love my job, but I'm just at that point where I don't have anything left in the tank. I'm just weary. And that's felt on so many levels. Someone else shared, I feel that my mental health has deteriorated during the pandemic, as I feel I am in an almost constant state of panic. I'm worried that something might happen or change at any second. And so we land on this theme, refresh. Why so? Well, there are many who are feeling like the Apostle Paul, and we mentioned that last week from the book of 2 Corinthians, where he is pressed on every side, where he was experiencing heightened anxieties. He was anxious for the church, even though the same guy that says, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication, he would say, I am anxious for the churches. So whilst there's an anxiety that Paul would feel that was legitimate and real, and he was feeling anxious. We talked last week about he was refreshed through relationships. There were times that Paul was lonely for companionship. And also there was a weariness. He despaired of life itself. That was Paul's reality. He was troubled at times. This time of year we try to pick something, a series that it's intentionally light but meaningful enough. A bit like, what's that breakfast cereal? Light and easy. This one, I'm not sure whether we hit on that goal or not, but it is, hopefully we end up somewhere that is refreshing. Sometimes our life and our soul and ourself can feel like an unkempt garden. And we had that imagery from last week. Maybe this is how at the start of the year our soul is feeling. I'm not sure. Refresh, it's taken from 2 Corinthians 4:16, so we do not lose heart. Though the outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. It is being renewed. It's constant. One writer said, and I love this phrase, it refers to the restoration of the divine image. The restoration of the divine image, being renewed day by day. It's this redemptive work of God that doesn't just begin at salvation and end with us hip-hopping into heaven. It's a day-by-day renewal that's taking place that is bringing out and transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. So we looked at refresh through suffering, refresh through good company, and refresh through perspective. And today we consider how God wants us to be refreshed by the constant renewing of the mind that we may know how to live. So Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, very familiar. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. What's his will like? It is good. It is pleasing. It is perfect. So, Father, as we look at this text and your spirit in inspiring this word to the Apostle Paul, and so much has gone before chapter 12, as we jump in here, we pray that your spirit would take your word, bring a season of refreshing and a renewal of our mind. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Chapter 12, it marks another transition phase in the book. And I read from the New Living Translation. It's not my study Bible. That's normally New King James. And if you have that, then you'll notice the first word of 12 verse 1 is the word therefore. The New Living Translation replaces that with sort of an equivalent, which is and so. There are a series of therefores throughout the book of Romans where there are transitions that take place. And one of them is in chapter 5 verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. There's another one in chapter 8 where it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Then you come to chapter 12 and it says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters. All transitions. And chapter 1 through 8, Paul has been looking at what it means to fall short of God's standard. It's all of the gospel message, the good news. So if you're with us today and this is not a normal experience for you, or you're exploring faith and you want to know what it is God has to say to you, Book of Romans is a bit of a heavy read, but what he does outline for us first of all is how far we fall short of God's glory and his standards. And the reader of the Book of Romans can't miss that. And then he moves into the fact that, well, we might fall short of God's standard, but there's someone who steps into our place who provides us with a way of life, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So then you come into chapter 5 and he said, because of what Jesus has done for you, we have no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So all of our stuff, we use the word sin out of Scripture, that causes us to fall short of God, is taken by Jesus on the cross, and he says, you're forgiven. You're set free. It's a wonderful proclamation in the book of Romans. We are righteous. There's the idea of justification. All of those beautiful images and sanctification. We're set apart from sin to God. And then he talks about our future glory. And then chapters 12 through 16, he pleads. He says, I beg of you, please. It's the parakletos, which is that idea of the believer to have their life fitting for our high calling with God. So in other words, because of all of what Jesus has done for us, this is how you live. And that's the start of chapter 12 through to chapter 16. And he outlines that, but he begins that here. So you've got all of the mercies of God, all of, without merit. And then as a result of that, therefore, the flip side is that, okay, this is how God calls us to live. And that's particularly Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Believers are called to present their bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. It's a little hard for us to get our head around that, but to the initial readers, that was, they understood that when he said that we present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. What images would there come to their mind? Ah, temple images, lambs, things being offered for sacrifice and blood spilled and that being put on the altar. So for them, it's a really vivid image. For us, it's not. We don't do that in church these days. We don't kill animals and do that sort of thing. So we lose some of the power of that phrase. I think it was J.B. Phillips who, he used the phrase, stop crawling off the altar. I like that sort of image. In other words, you're a living sacrifice. You're not dead. He calls us to be a living sacrifice. So flowing from that as being living offerings to God, I want to suggest that being refreshed in our minds, which is what he touches on in verse 2, begins with acknowledging what God has done for us in his mercy and responding in kind through living, holy, and sacrificial living that is our reasonable spiritual worship. So maybe that's where we need to begin in the idea of refreshment today. Before we even get to renewal, is that there's a sense where the recommittal of our lives to be living sacrifices to God. And as a result of that, what he wants to do is to renew our minds. So he transitions to the changed life that refuses to copy the lifestyles and behavior and customs of the world around us. It allows God to transform you. I know grammar's not taught that much in schools these days, or maybe it might be in the schools that you're from, but the grammar around this is really important because it's what's described as being present, passive, and imperative. It's keep on being transformed. Keep on being transformed. A little bit like last week. It was day by day, be renewed in your spirit. Day by day, moment by moment. So day by day, every day, keep being transformed in your mind. And this renewal work of God, this is what he does with us. This is lifelong learning on another level. That's a popular phrase these days. This is lifelong learning on another level. Every day we are learning what it is to be transformed in the renewal of our mind, because the world in which we are in and live in just wants to suck us into its mold so that we look like that rather than this as living sacrifices as a result of the mercies of God. He says here in verse 12, don't let the world around you, J.B. Phillips said, squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your mind from within. So there's a reframing of how we think and then how we live. This idea of world, what is the world? Don't be conformed to the world. The Germans have a great word there, which is Zeitgeist or spirit of the age. Anything that it is that alienates us from God or is alienated and apart from God. Leon Morris, who is he's with Jesus, great Australian theologian, he said, Christians have been introduced into the life of the world to come. What a tragedy then if they conform to the perishing world that they have left. It's like, why would we? But it takes work, this being transformed by the renewing of our mind. So I want to encourage you this morning, because it's not good for your mental health or your spiritual health to be squeezed in the mold of the world. So what I want to encourage you in this morning is be careful how you think. Be careful how you think. Let's begin with how you begin your day. What do you reach for first? I'm not saying you've got to reach for your Bible. Like, that would be what you would expect, maybe. What do you reach for first? Is it your device or devices? Your remote control? We want to be connected with our news feeds or our social media or the morning show. What happened in the world overnight, the 24-hour news cycle, we experience stress and terror, accidents, fires and floods. It's no wonder that we're reaching for the Panadol and it's only 6:30 in the morning. You see, when we start the day through that, and there are things that are impacting us all the time, and in fact, when we've got a spare moment during the day and we've not got something to do, if you want to watch this, go and do a doctor's surgery. And what do? We get out our devices and we're checking our emails, we're checking our news feeds, we're doing whatever else we do, Instagram or flicking stuff. There are very few times where we actually just stop and sit. It's no wonder it's hard for our minds to be transformed, because God doesn't get a word in, because we're filling it all the time with stuff. So my encouragement is to be careful how you think. And actually, the Bible helps us around this. And by the way, I'm not critical of phones and devices and those sorts of things, but what I'm critical of is me, when that thing is just as a tool begins to overwhelm my mind, and then I'm not listening to what God's wanting to say because I've got so much other stuff coming in. Paul helps us, Philippians 4, you know the text. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. So what were you thinking about when you came in this morning? Was it those things? What were you thinking about when you got up this morning, or your mind's racing with all of the demands of the day or maybe the week? Arch Hart, who's just a writer around a lot of this stuff, he refers to Philippians 4:8, enhancing your happy messengers. When you're thinking on those things, God is transforming our mind. Here's the thing though, for you and for me, many of us struggle with our thoughts. It's beautifully developed in this book by Esther Smith, which is titled A Still and Quiet Mind, 12 Strategies for Challenging Unwanted Thoughts. Now I won't give you what the 12 are, you can buy the book yourself. But she talks about these unwanted thoughts, and she's got a list of them. I'll let you know what they are. It's this idea of worried or anxious thoughts. Just pop up the next one. Worried or anxious. What if I don't know what to say, or I look stupid? What if my baby gets sick? How am I going to pay my bills? What if I'm dying? Anxious thoughts that come in. Self-deprecating thoughts. I'm not good enough. I have to be perfect. I'm worthless. I hate myself. Or depressed or hopeless thoughts. By the way, there are different levels of depression, clinical depression and seasonal depression. So this is not addressing those things. But there are times where we just feel down, talking on that level, or hopeless thoughts. This is too hard. I'm not sure I can forgive myself. Nothing will ever get better. And these thoughts become cyclical. Maybe you grew up in a home where mum or dad just never said, great job, well done. They just said, you're a loser. You'll never do anything in life that's good. Or anything that you do, they just pick on. And that becomes like a vinyl record going round and round in our minds that is feeding into how we feel in our soul. And that becomes detrimental to our mental and physical and spiritual health. Racing thoughts and incessant mental chatter. I should cook lasagna for dinner. That's the thought we wake up with, because it's just pressing in on us. If you don't like lasagna, that's fine. What if we get invaded? You've been reading all the news reports. What do I do? My son was getting a little concerned. He thought I was becoming, apocalyptic. Because we ended up with a generator, long story. I hate generators, camping, they make noise. But anyhow, we have one. So I figured, I reckon the power will go off more. They keep telling us about power outages. So my son-in-law is an electrician, so I got him to wire up my power board. So if the power goes out, I can fire up my generator, plug it into my power board, and keep some fridges cold and my lights on. I thought that was really good. I don't think I was apocalyptic. Racing thoughts, incessant mental chatter. You know, I've got a really good yoga workout that is particularly just for that. You know when your thoughts are racing and it's just like non-stop and it's bang, bang, bang? This yoga workout is great because you're so focusing on your technique and it is straining you. You are 5 minutes into it and you're a ball of sweat and you haven't left your mat. And it is so good because you can't be your thought's not racing anymore. It's just focusing on what your body's doing. It's really good. Daydreams, mental pictures, past and future events. Irrational thoughts that don't match reality. No one likes me. If I touch that doorknob, my luck will change. You know when you're talking to people and they go, and they're not knocking on a door. It's like touch wood. Thoughts that are just totally irrational, or I'm being watched. sinful thoughts. Thoughts related to traumatic experiences, where our revolving thoughts are, I'm dirty. God doesn't love me. I never feel safe. Will pain stop? Those sorts of thoughts racing around in our minds. Or unwanted thoughts about unwanted thoughts. I really like that one. Because we have this theology that says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Remember that? And our theology says I shouldn't think this way. But reality says, well, we sometimes just do because of the things pressing in on us and for all sorts of reasons and replayed albums and records in our minds that dig deeper trenches every time they go around. And so we end up with unwanted thoughts about unwanted thoughts. And God wants us to think about our thinking. He's called us to transform us. An idea is the restoration of the divine image. In fact, in that passage in Philippians 4, where he talks about what we're thinking, he says, practice these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. It is something that we practice, controlling where our thoughts are, rather than just let it run the spool. The mind is an amazing complex thing, and I've shared this before, is that I love Rick Hansen, he's a neuropsychologist. He said the brain is like Velcro for negative experiences and Teflon for positive ones. We just hang on to the negative stuff, and that's what we feed on. It's interesting, every day we have about 60,000 thoughts. And even more depressing around that is that 54,000 of them, not sure how they do the figures, are repeated thoughts and not new ones. They're just repeats from yesterday or some other time. Managing how we think is a contributing factor to how we feel and the way that we impact others. Amy Oden, who's a Christian writer around this, she said, our neural pathways are rutted with conditioned reactions and responses. So I want you to think of a vinyl record. You know what a vinyl record is? You're good. Okay, I don't have to explain that. The needle hits the track and just goes round and round and round. Our minds become like that, but what we have to do is actually lift the needle and create new tracks. Because in certain situations, we respond in ways that are sort of ingrained because that's the way the track works. our neural pathways, we can learn new pathways, and that's what Paul talks about in Romans 12, that our minds, that talks about the renewing of our mind, and he also talks in Ephesians 4:23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. This is the rewriting of the neurological pathways that we have there, so that we're not just in this circular motion of responding the way that we always do and going to our default responses. I've been studying some of this stuff and pastoral burnout for over a decade now. And the material that's now being written around mindfulness, Christian mindfulness, and ways that the Bible just speaks into how our brain works so that we can be healthier people and people made in the image of God, transformed in our minds and becoming more like Jesus, which is his plan, his redemptive plan for you and for me. So to wrap up, you've been very patient this morning and I've got a lot to say around this. I'm just going to give you some practical tools and you can pick them up or not. I found them really useful, but probably the older I've got, the more reflective I become in my spiritual practices, particularly around the writings of Dallas Willard and some of the influences in my life, things that have become meaningful, because you get to a point where you realize it's not just enough to memorize scripture. It's not just enough to pray. All of those are good, don't get me wrong. But there's a sense where that's why for me, my word for this year is breathe. Just to breathe and listen to God. To slow down, to settle my racing heart and mind and to wait on him. So here's some practices, and some of them come from Willard. Some of them come from, Amy Oden. She talks about attentive breathing. So just simple breathing exercises that are helpful. You can look at her material and find that. But let me give you the prayer of examine, a prayer of looking back. This is a simple thing that you can do at the end of the day. It can take about 15 minutes. So that's this. You put your devices away. And when you, at the end of the day, however you do it, this idea of no matter what I am worrying about, stop. That's the first one. No matter what I'm worrying about, stop. God is with me. I remember that God has created all things. Is there something that I can give thanks for today? So you're reflecting on your day. You're stopping in your thinking and you're allowing God to speak into you in that moment, and you're thinking through your day. So if you go to bed worried, the encouragement here is just to stop and actually reflect back on your day. What is it out of today that you can give thanks to God for? Just something. Just something. The second one, and by the way, this is from St. Ignatius, and some of you may or may not feel comfortable with that, but the reflective exercises are really, really good. The second one, I ask God to shine his light into my heart so that when I look back over the day, I may be able to see God working in the things that have happened. So your first step is to stop worrying, reflect. So it takes a mental acumen to be able to reflect on your day. You're replaying events, and out of that, what is it I can thank God for? And then in that, say, how have I seen God working in today, even in those tough days? Third thing, I remember through the day, starting from when I woke up, the people I have met, the things that have happened. What were my feelings? And why was I feeling that way? So this gets more reflective about you as a person and the events that have taken place for you during the day. What was I feeling when I had that tough conversation? Why was I feeling that way? And then the fourth thing, what can I be proud of today? Or maybe did I turn away from God during the day? Did I recognize God in that homeless person or in that checkout person or that co-worker or that relative, that family member? What can I be proud of today? Or maybe, how is it that I may be turned away from God today? And these are checks that we do. Maybe simply a prayer praying for forgiveness for anything that I may have done to ignore or hinder God's loving during the day. And while you do this, your mind will begin to go to other things and get distracted. And unless it becomes a discipline, you've got to pull your mind back in and remember what it is that you're engaging in. And the fifth thing is you look forward to tomorrow. Ask God to show how tomorrow might go. Imagine the things you'll be doing. Ask for help with anything that might be difficult. Remember that God will be with you. So this is a really helpful exercise that simply in reflecting in a manner which goes over your day, things done, said, things to give thanks for, things that have troubled us, looking for where God has been at work. You're reframing your day and also reframing your mind and bringing it to a point where you can things that you can be proud of or things that you need to ask God for forgiveness. And then you're setting for tomorrow. Rather than going to sleep anxious about tomorrow, you've already committed it in the hands of God. And guess what you do when you wake up, at least if I wake up. Here's something I do if I wake up in the middle of the night with my mind racing. Another thing that I do, I watch my breathing. But also repeat in my breathing, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because your mind can't be racing if you're actually verbalizing or thinking something around the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's something that a friend taught me a while ago and I constantly use if I'm waking up in the middle of the night and I'm anxious and my mind is racing and give up counting sheep or getting up and making a cup of tea. For me, that doesn't work. It just means I stay up. So I think something about the Father. So it might be as I breathe in, I say Father. As I breathe out, I think love. Father, relate it to love. I think Jesus Christ, so I might think Jesus, your mercy. So as I breathe in, I think Jesus, as I breathe out, mercy. Holy Spirit, I might breathe in, Holy Spirit, breathe out, comforter or power. And then I repeat it again. Father, love, or whatever attribute of the Father you might like. And I go around those three. And invariably, when I do that, I'm not off to sleep eventually because I take control of what my mind is thinking and my mind will affect how I feel, it will affect my heart rate, it will affect my ability to sleep and be rested. And so I begin to think around the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's not a trick, there's nothing spooky about it, it's just trying to control my thoughts in a way which actually begins to bring honor to God. There are other things around breathing which are helpful. Esther Smith has 12 strategies for changing unwanted thoughts. Let me leave you with these questions and then we're done. You've been really patient. What could you stop, start, or continue doing right now to improve your mental, spiritual, and physical health? What could you stop, start, or continue doing right now that would improve your mental, spiritual, and physical health in what it is to be transformed in the renewing of your mind? Second thing, what do you bring to your workplace or your home or your friends? What do you bring to your workplace, to your home, or to your friends? Do you bring stressfulness or the peace of God? And how can that be transformed? Because that's what God wants us to do. There's something of the presence of Jesus that God wants us to bring into our homes, into our workplaces, into our relationships. But if we're stressed and anxious all the time, that's what we'll bring in. He wants us to control our thoughts and be transformed around that. Third one, what spiritual practices could you take up that would allow God to transform the way you think? For me, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit works. Or the other five steps, the Ignatius steps. Or spending time just walking, not with my ears plugged in. Just walking and in silence, wanting to listen to God and allowing Him to speak into our hearts and our minds. because that's important for him and for us. Let's pray.